You know, many people are surprised to learn that one can be happy and enjoy life and have a lot of fun and still be a Christian. Some people think that there is necessarily a conflict between being a Christian and having fun in life. I want to tell you tonight that there is no conflict. Romans 14:17 includes a general statement there that says that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy. Notice that righteousness and joy are both mentioned in the same verse. Sometimes we don't understand that, and sometimes we don't live as if we understood that. I want all of you young people that are here tonight particularly, and all of us for that matter, to leave with one statement in mind that will remind you of what I have just said. You can have your cake and eat it too. Now, I don't know whether you've heard a statement that I've heard as many times as I've heard it in my life or not, but I can remember back when I was just a little boy, and there was a time when I was smaller, believe it or not, that there would be occasions when we would only have enough dessert that each person who was in the family could only have one piece of cake or one piece of pie. And I have always, as my wife would verify now, liked to have just at least a little piece of cake or pie before I eat the rest of my meal. I like dessert before and after if I can. But I remember my mother saying to me several times back there years ago, "Ben, you just can't have your cake and eat it too." And what she meant by that was, if I ate it before the meal, maybe in an afternoon snack, that I wouldn't have any dessert for supper. You see, I had a choice that I had to make. And since there was just one piece of cake on that occasion, I could either have it at that time or I could have it at another time. I did not have the possibility of having it both ways. And somehow or other, my mother particularly, and I think Dad a few times in life, picked up on that statement and used it in more serious circumstances in life when there had to be a decision made. And when there was a conflict and it was an either or, I remember my mother particularly saying several times, "Son, you just can't have your cake and eat it too." And she meant by that I had to make some choices, and I recognize that that statement is true so many times. And young folks, there are times that you'll have to make some choices. There are times that there will be things that you want to do that may conflict with something else, and it will be true on those occasions that you can't have your cake and eat it too. But I want to tell you on some of the points that are so important tonight and sets of circumstances that are so involved in this week particularly and in our lives in general, that there is a sense in which you can have your cake and eat it too. Young ladies and young gentlemen, there is no conflict between honesty and success. You can be honest in life and you can still succeed in life. We live at a time when there is a great deal of cheating. Even some of the adults sometimes will brag about cheating the government on their income tax. And it just seems to be the accepted thing in many of the businesses and the factories that they have to build in a certain amount there to cover the cheating and the dishonesty of those on the job. Those of you that are teachers at the school, those that are students, those of you that are even younger as students know that there is a lot said about cheating, and sometimes a person may say, "You know, you just can't be successful unless you're willing to cheat, unless you're willing to be dishonest. You just can't get ahead in this world, in this time in which we live, unless you're willing to be dishonest." I stand here tonight to tell you that that's not true. Now, there may be some who can only be successful as they count success by being dishonest and cheating because they're not willing to work. They're not willing to put forth the effort. As God has taught us throughout His Word, that work is something that's honorable, and that when we use our talents and our abilities and apply ourselves, whether it be in school, at home, in the community, on the job, wherever it is, that we can attain success. The Bible teaches us to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Provide things honorable is one translation. Romans 12:17. We're told that we're to tell the truth. We're not to lie to our neighbors, Ephesians 4:25, but we are to approach everything with truth. What is the right thing to do? What is the honest thing to do? Many, many people have been successful in life in every type of occupation that you could mention tonight and have attained that success based on the principles of honesty and truth. And so I stand here tonight to tell you that you can have your cake and eat it too. There is never a reason for you cheating on any test. There is never a necessity of your being dishonest in your dealings with your friends, with your family. You can be just as honest as George Washington was about the cherry tree. And you can attain a degree of success as he did, not as the first president of our nation, but as the first in something that you have as a goal. You can have your cake and eat it too. You can be honest and you can attain success. And let me just pause long enough to address a point to those of us that are a bit older in the audience tonight, particularly as we think about the work of the church. I believe that we can have progress and soundness at the same time. There is phenomenal growth talked about in the book of Acts. 3,000, 5,000 multitudes added to the Lord's church. Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 5, Acts 16. Acts 6 says they were increasing regularly. There was phenomenal growth. Look at the soundness. Those folks continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, among other things that are mentioned there in Acts 2. We need to realize today in the work of the church that we do not need to compromise the truth in order to grow and be successful and to make progress in the Lord's kingdom. And I say to those of us that are a bit older tonight that we can have our cake and eat it too. We can stand firm on the foundation of God's Word. And by doing what he has told us and increasing our enthusiasm to teach that word and our people-centeredness in reaching out to those around us, we can have progress without compromising the soundness of the truth of God's word. You can have your cake and eat it too. Now switch in your mind for just a moment to another type of circumstances and let's apply this principle again. It is possible for you to have happiness and live by good moral principles at the same time. You know, there are some people that think that's impossible. I've heard many young people make a statement that indicated that they thought that. Some of them would say, well, you know, if I'm going to get along with my peers and I'm going to be happy and have fun, I've got to do the things that are in. I've got to do the things that are accepted by everyone. And sometimes there are things that are questionable and things that I know I shouldn't do, but if I'm going to be happy and successful and be accepted by my peers, I've just got to do some of these things. I tell you tonight, you don't have to do any of those things that are immoral, are indecent, or illegal in order to have happiness. Jesus said in one of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." When Paul was talking to the church at Philippi about the thoughts that they ought to have in their hearts, he talked about truth and honesty and justice, but then he talked about purity and the things that are lovely. Think on these things if you're going to have peace of mind and if you're going to be successful in the sight of God. Somehow or other, we have defined this word fun in the wrong way. And we, in many instances today, and when I say we, I'm talking about the society of today, have come to believe that if we're going to have fun, we've got to let down our moral standards. And I hear some people talk about having fun. They're going to go and buy a six-pack or get a little brown bag or buy so many cigarettes or get some marijuana or whatever it is. And we're going to get out here and we're going to have fun. Why, folks, that's not fun. That's not what the Bible talks about is fun. And that's not what common sense talks about is fun. I don't know of anybody that can have more good, clean, fun, and laughter than a group of preachers and a group of Christians together. If you want to hear a bunch of jokes and good, clean, fun, you get about four or five preachers together, and the only problem is none of them want to listen while the other one's talking. You get some of us Christian families together here, and some of the activities that we have, we were just talking the other night when some of us were together. We were sitting there telling little funny things and sharing experiences in life where we'd sometimes acted a little bit silly ourselves. And I was just sitting and listening, and I thought, you know what, we're talking about is a little bit silly, but it's clean. And we're having fun together. I believe Christian people ought to be happy. They ought to be the happiest people in the world. They ought to be the people who can enjoy life the most. And young people, if you really believe this, there are so many things that you can do this week while you're here in Henderson, while you're together in your activities, where you can have good, clean fun, and you can be happy, you can laugh together, you can play together, and you do not have to violate any moral principle that God has given us in this book. And you know, one of the things that we want you as young folks to be able to do is to be able to come to two marriages in purity. One of those is being married to Christ. And many of the young folks that are here tonight have already made that step. We want you to be able to come to the point that you decide to be a Christian, to where you have your life in order. You have a good moral life, a life that is based on high standards. And that doesn't mean that you haven't made any mistakes, because we, like you, all of us, make mistakes. But it means that we've based our living on principles that are high. We've tried to walk in that highway of holiness. We've tried to live on a higher level than people of the world do, because we believe in Christ and we believe there's something better. And so we come to that point in life, wherever it is, that we decide to become Christians and be married to Christ as a part of His bride. And we come to that with a life that is based on high principles. And then most of us, most of you that are here tonight, even though some of you would say, not me, will very shortly be thinking about getting married. In fact, I think you ought to already be thinking about it. If you're 10 years old, you're at least 5 years late if you're not thinking about it. Now, parents, don't get excited. I didn't say go ahead and get married. Just thinking about it. Sometimes we do more preparation for a wedding than we do for a marriage in a home. We need to be thinking about these things and preparing ourselves so that there is that purity, there is that morality and that decency and that goodness in the life of each young man and each young woman who comes to that most beautiful relationship that there is on this earth, of being husband and wife. Back in the Old Testament, even as the first psalm began, the psalmist said blessed, and he could have said happy, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He's thinking about the things that are good. I say to you tonight without any reservation, you can live a good moral life and still be happy and have fun. You can have your cake and eat it too. Some of you may have noticed, those of us that are older and have been through Fried Hardeman and associated with it, have remembered for years the motto of the college. And I hope every young man and every young woman that's here tonight will remember that motto when you leave the campus this week. Learning how to live and make a living. Now I want to tell you something. In this area of thought, you can have your cake and eat it too. I've had some young folks, and even some a bit older, who would approach life like this. You know, I've got to get an education, and then I must make a living, and I have all these responsibilities that I'm going to carry out, and when I get all those done, then I'm going to be a Christian. Then I'm going to serve God when I get all these things done. It is important to make a living, and I full well recognize the difficulty for a young couple that's starting out today. It's almost impossible in most instances to live on one salary in the setting of today. I realize the difficulties. And I know there is so much pressure for you to prepare yourself to be successful in life, to where you can get out and make a living. You can make money. Oh, that's one of the goals, I suppose, to some extent of all of us, but especially of the younger generation. But let me tell you tonight, you can make a life at the same time that you are making a living. You can serve God at the same time that you are serving man. As a young man who grows up to become a husband and a father, you will have the basic responsibility of providing for a wife and for children when they are in the family. But you can make that living at the same time that you make a life. We're told that we are not to steal, but we're to labor with our hands, Ephesians 4:28. One of the basic reasons that's given in that passage for laboring with our hands is to be able to give to others. I sort of like to look at that passage as describing the entirety of making a living. Why do you go to work, make money to bring it home? Isn't it to be able to support your family, help your neighbor if he's in need, lay by in store on the first day of the week to support the Lord's work, to be ready, as that passage says, to help others? That's the reason for making a living. Money isn't worth anything in and of itself. Certainly we're not going to be able to take it with us when we leave this earth. But if you go to work and you make money or you make a living in order to come back and help other people, then it becomes meaningful. There is no conflict between making a living and making a life. As long as you select an occupation that is honest and decent, and 99.44% of the occupations available today are, if one really wants to make it that, so long as you put forth an honest day's labor for an honest day's pay, and you are successful in whatever the endeavor in life may be that you choose, you can use that approach to making a life itself. It's rather interesting that after verse 17 of Colossians 3, which says, "Do all that you do in the name of the Lord," that the next few verses address the husbands and the wives and the parents and the children and the servants and the masters. I think sometimes we overlook the significance of that being in that same setting. And I believe one thing that Paul is saying there, and I realize verse 17 is worth so much on the authority question as a proof text. But I believe something else that he's saying in that passage is that when you're doing everything in the name of the Lord, this includes being a good husband and a good father and being a good mother and a good wife. And being a good employee on the job, or being a good employer if you are in that position. People relationships, you see. And isn't that the same idea that Jesus presented in that judgment scene of Matthew 25? When he said, "When you do these things unto the least of these, my brethren, you're doing them unto me." One of my favorite passages in the last few years has come to be Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ." That suggests death. And there is a type of death that one dies when he becomes a Christian. That sentence goes ahead and says, "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh," young folks, that means while you're here on earth. That's not just talking about an eternal life yonder. It's talking about an abundant life here. "The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I believe that passage is teaching us tonight that we can make a life while we're making a living. Every hour that you're on the job is a part of your life. Every hour that you are at home, every hour that you are involved in community activities, all of this is a part of your life, and there is no conflict for the true Christian between making a living and making a life. You can have your cake and eat it too. You can be honest and successful. You can be happy and live in morality. You can make a life and make a living at the same time. In fact, I want to tell you something, and I want you to remember this. God has never asked any of us to give up anything that's good to be Christians. There's not a person in this audience tonight who can take a piece of paper and write out one thing that's good that God has asked you and me to give up. You see, we can bring everything that's good into Christ. Just those things we don't need is what he's asked us to give up. Just those things that are immoral and illegal and indecent and violate his word. These are the things, and we don't need these. God has said you can bring anything that's really good and helpful into Christ with you and use that in your life. There is no conflict between that which is good and that which Christ desires. You can have your cake and eat it too. And you know, that's just another reason why we want people to be Christians. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Yes, we've got to do things right. We must teach that complete plan of salvation. As long as we preach the gospel, we're to teach people to believe and repent and confess and be baptized for the remission of sins. We must teach the necessity of worship in Christian living. All of these things are to be taught. We're to teach righteousness. We're to teach that which is right. But that same verse says the kingdom of God has joy in it. We even talked about joy this morning with those on Pentecost, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Philippian jailer. They rejoiced as Christians. You can have a full life and give that life to Jesus Christ. You can have your cake and eat it too. And I say to you tonight without any hesitation or stuttering, The best life that you can live is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if you're not in Christ and not faithful in Him, you need to come to Him right now as together we stand and sing.
Seated, please. Our closing song this evening will be Our God, He is Alive, and you'll find this song on the inside of the front cover or the inside of the back cover of your songbooks.
It's great to see this great audience here tonight. Again, we're especially thankful for the presence of our visitors tonight. We have so many from many different parts of this country of ours, and we're grateful for your safe trip here. We hope that you have a good week at the college. I'm very happy to announce that one of our own, Chad Smith, was baptized at Mid-South Youth Camp this past Friday night, and we rejoice with Chad and with the Smith family. Visitation Team 2 will meet in the library once we're dismissed. 2A will meet at the home of Theo Rhodes. Summer Youth Series continues tomorrow night at the Campbell Street Church in Jackson. Our youth group will leave from the parking lot at 6:15, and that program will begin at 7 tomorrow night. For those who are not able to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, it's been prepared for you to take this evening. As we're singing the closing song, you may pass across the breezeway into the educational building, and you'll be waited on in there. Remember the two showers for next Sunday. The one for Sunday afternoon is for Tiffany Thomas Copeland, and that will be a drop-in shower from 2 to 4 p.m. in the educational building. And then after we're dismissed, next Sunday night, a baby shower for the Bloomingbergs. All the men, young and old, who will volunteer to work as ushers for the August area-wide meeting, contact Ray Nelson this week. This announcement for those who are a part of the Horizons program. Once we're dismissed this evening, we need all of you to meet in the annex. Now, there are some who are in the main auditorium here, And what we'll have is the ones who are not a part of Horizons to leave the annex as quickly as possible. Those ones who are part of the Horizons program, we need all of you to be meeting in the annex over here once we've dismissed. Campaigners and sponsors for the Boonville trip need to meet with me for just a very short meeting in the educational building once we've dismissed this evening. And remember, the mission committee will have their Wednesday evening meeting at 8 o'clock this Wednesday night in the elders' conference room. Let's stand for our closing song and prayer.
We'll sing the first, second, and last verses.
There is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. There was a long, long time ago a God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am. Our God, whose Son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set man free and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive. We survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God, the great I am.
Bow with me. Father, we thank you for this day which you have given us to come and worship you. And we pray that the things that we have heard during this day will not be forgotten as we leave this building, but that we will keep them with us and continue to use them in the week that follows, and that will help our worship to thee continue for the week until we come back to worship you again. Be with the sick who were mentioned here tonight, that they may return to their normal physical health and be able to come back and worship with us again. And also be with those who are spiritually ill tonight and did not come to be with us. We pray especially for those people, so that they may once again return to thy fold. Be with us as we leave here tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.